Today's passage is Micah 6, 6-8. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? We have reached the most famous verse of Micah, which is Micah 6:8. We'll get to that in a bit, but first let's review the context that we are in. Yesterday, in the previous five verses, we read about God's indictment against Israel. Remember, it was in the format of a covenant lawsuit, with God calling up Israel to plead their case, the mountains as witnesses, and God basically saying, "How have I wronged you? I held up my end of the covenant by being faithful time and time again." And he went on to give examples of his faithfulness. This implied, and it was spelled out elsewhere in Micah, that the Israelites were not remembering God's faithfulness. Instead, they lived as if they were not in a covenant with God at all. Here in these verses, Micah shifts to a rhetoric to show how the Israelites have been living. This is how the Israelites have been responding to their side of the covenant. We have a series of four questions in verses 6-7. First, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? And it starts off with something that seems reasonable, burnt offerings with calves a year old. Burnt offerings were part of the sacrificial system of the covenant. But then it escalates to prove a point. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Micah's point is that God would only be pleased with this if it comes with the people's obedience. All of creation belongs to God, so God isn't pleased with these lavish offerings alone. And the last suggestion from verse 7, giving my firstborn for my transgression, is even more ridiculous. Of course God would not be pleased with that. What God really wants is real submission to him. Everything else is simply empty and lip service. It's like in the movies, where the father or the husband gives his family the awesome house and everything riches could buy, but the son and the wife really just want a relationship with him, and they could care less about all the other stuff. Somewhere along the way, perhaps sometimes unknowingly, God's people reduced their relationship to just having to perform these rituals once in a while. Micah in verse 8 makes it clear. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. These three phrases encapsulate so well what God desires of his people. Let's take a look at them more closely. First, do justice. In what we've read so far in Micah, God has called out many instances of injustice. He's called out the greedy landowners who want more than they need and who seize the land of those who cannot defend themselves. In Israel, those in power drive out women and young children from their houses. Also, the rulers take bribes, to name a few of the injustices. God is saying that he is not blind to these. He hears the cry of the poor and the weak, and he desires his people to do what is right. Second phrase to look at, love kindness. Kindness can also be worded as steadfast love. As God has been so faithful to the people in showing his kindness and steadfast love, his people are to do likewise to others. It overlaps a lot with doing justice. After all, seizing land from the powerless is not kind at all. but it also shows the heart is beyond not hurting one's neighbor. This is like how we've talked a lot recently about how shalom is not just the absence of wrong or conflict, but the word shalom means peace as God intends it to be. Similarly, loving kindness means not only treating one's neighbor fairly, but loving him or her. For me, the Good Samaritan parable that Jesus told comes to mind, how the Samaritan went above and beyond what was necessary to help his injured neighbor. And third phrase, walk humbly with your God. Again, we've seen several examples of how the Israelites were failing to do this in Micah. A huge problem was idol worship, worshiping the creation of their own hands. This is walking as if God doesn't exist, let alone walking humbly with God. Also, Micah has condemned the false prophets who make up their own prophecies and who presume that nothing bad can happen to Israel. Instead, God wants his people to put him as first and foremost in their lives, to adjust our lives to him instead of the other way around. These three instructions to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God all go hand in hand. Since without a relationship with God, our ideas of justice and kindness fall way short and get warped into living for self in the end. And of course, we cannot walk humbly with God without keeping his commandments, which include doing justice and loving kindness. Today, our takeaway is very simple, because these three instructions are the same for us today. Jesus said that the two most important commandments are loving God and loving your neighbor. And that's basically the same idea as what we see here in Micah 6:8. As always, let's do our best to reflect on what these would look like in our lives, in our contexts, and be intentional about obeying God in the ways that he's leading us. I realize it's easy for me to think, yeah, I'm already living these commandments out, just as Jesus wants. After all, I'm reading the Bible and I'm praying daily. But am I doing these alone? Am I sometimes reducing those down to these empty rituals? Today, let's humbly go before God and strive for what he really desires in our actions and in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would be able to be people who follow your commands, God, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. God, help us to really examine our lives constantly. And as you've given us this lifelong call, God, help us to be ruthlessly obedient to do what you command us, and do it with you, God, not just out of our own wisdom or strength. Lord, we thank you for your example in Jesus, and we pray that we would, starting today, walk in your ways. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.